Thanks for watching, everyone. For our latest Artemis Live video interview, I'm delighted to welcome Florian Steiger, who's head of cat bonds at specialist ILS and reinsurance asset manager 12 Capital. Florian, welcome. It's really good to see you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Great to talk with you at this time, which is particularly interesting. The cat bond market has been incredibly interesting this year, obviously, having started off with a really busy issuance calendar. And then we felt the effects of some of the macroeconomic factors that have been influencing capital markets. And now more recently, obviously, the industry is dealing with and trying to understand the impacts of major Hurricane Ian. We're getting a little more clarity now about the actual loss potential of Hurricane Ian. And I wanted to explore this in more detail with Florian today. And as you're somebody who is involved in the day-to-day management of portfolios of cat bond assets, and you've got a good view of sort of what's going on pre-Ian, with-Ian, and now what's going to happen after-Ian. So we're going to get Florian's view on the state of play and also his outlook for the future today as well. So to begin, Florian, perhaps you could give our viewers a bit of background as to the state of the cat bond market prior to Hurricane Ian hitting Florida.
Yeah, well, I think you pointed out it has been a fairly interesting year thus far, and it didn't start with Ian. It really started much earlier, of course, with the Russian invasion in Ukraine. That in itself did not have any direct impact on the cat bond market. It's not a risk that is covered. So as such, one shouldn't expect this to have an impact. But what we have seen is that the cat bond market failed to deliver the performance everybody anticipated in the first half of the year anyways. And that was despite the cat bond market being in an environment of low losses. So essentially, we had almost no losses in the first half of the year. Bit of loss creep from Hurricane Ida last year, but that was about it. But yet, if you look at cat bond performance, either in our products or in the indices or in any comparison with peers or competitors, you would see that most of them have delivered flattish, maybe slightly positive performance, despite not suffering from many defaults. And the reason for that is that we have seen quite a bit of spread widening in cat bond secondary markets, driven by a variety of things. So we've seen, again, a very robust pipeline of new issuance being brought into the cat bond market. And given the ongoing capital shortage in the wider reinsurance markets, those deals priced wider than where the deals used to price in prior years. And of course, if you see a wider primary market, that should have an effect on secondary market pricing as well. So that is something we have seen. But then on top, what we have also witnessed is that a lot of investors in the cat bond space are investing into Euro Swiss franc hedge share classes. And with the US dollar appreciating by 15-20%, depending on the other currency, we have witnessed a situation where the FX hedging has resulted in a very high P&L, negative P&L, I should say, for the funds. And that P&L might be performance neutral, but it's certainly not cash flow or liquidity neutral. Just for our funds this year, we had more than 100 million in liquidity outflows purely driven by FX hedging. And that liquidity was then, of course, missing in the primary market. It was missing in the secondary market. And that has further accelerated the spread widening. Yeah. And it ended in a situation where that spread widening has almost entirely compensated the coupons earned in the first 9 months of the year before Hurricane Ian. And then, of course, we go into Hurricane Ian with almost no buffer performance-wise.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. That's a really good overview of what's happened so far this year. And a very good point on the FX hedging side, which is something that has been perhaps under-discussed as well.
It's often ignored, yeah, because it is neutral performance-wise. But then again, liquidity management in the cat bond market is key. And if you have such a big inflow or outflow of liquidity, I mean, it can also work the other way around. Maybe something for the outlook to discuss later on, what happens if the US dollar suddenly depreciates. It could have the opposing effect. But it's something that needs to be kept in mind by investors.
Absolutely. I think we're all guilty, or certainly I am, of you look at transactions coming to market and they're all denominated in dollars. And so we often think of the market just as a static dollar-based asset class. But of course, from an investor point of view, it really isn't. So that's the, sort of the backdrop. And then along come what we're now expecting to be the second most costly hurricane loss event in history, Hurricane Ian. So how did you see the cat bond market reacting in the days following the event?
I would say it was very disciplined and much more orderly than what we've seen in 2017 after Hurricane Irma. And maybe a comment on Ian, because it was quite an interesting hurricane season this year. If you look at any of the statistics, it's actually been a rather benign hurricane season. We didn't see a single named storm in August. People were overly excited about, hey, maybe they are there's not going to be any hurricanes this year. Of course, that didn't play out the way people hoped for. And Hurricane Ian shows again that one hurricane can be enough. So it doesn't require an active hurricane season, which, by the way, all the forecasts called for. I would argue most of them were wrong. It wasn't a very active season number-wise or intensity-wise, but one hurricane with sufficient strength in a densely populated area can be enough to result in a bad situation for the cat bond market, for the ILS market. And that's exactly what we had with Hurricane Ian. Hurricane Ian obviously being a strong Cat 4, almost Cat 5, making landfall in densely populated area, that is the recipe for disaster. That's ticking all the boxes we always warn investors of that could cause loss to the cat bond market. And it happened. In a way, we got lucky. So had Ian made landfall further to the north in Tampa, losses might be different. Had it made landfall towards the Miami region, losses might be different. So in a way, I think the outcome of Hurricane Ian, and as we also see it now, then that there's more clarity, I think it's a rather positive outcome, and it could have been much worse.
Yes, it's interesting. Such a significant storm in terms of sort of scale and also wind speeds for Florida as well. And it's really what the cat bond market was built for, though, isn't it? I mean, this is why the capital is there. This is why the instruments exist, is to provide protection to the insurance industry at that time. And clearly that's happening.
And that's why we are getting now double-digit return perspective in this space, because it is to take risk, and there is risk. It hardly ever presents itself, but that's what the S-class is about.
Yeah. And now things are settling down a little, and we're getting sort of loss estimates, and they're coming in from sponsors of cat bonds as well. So what are you seeing at 12 Capital, and what's your current assessment of Ian's impact on the market?
Yeah, well, I think it's too early to really tell. So all the major points that we have been discussing even before Ian, inflation, social inflation, litigation costs, loss adjustment expenses, all these things have not yet really settled. So there still is a lot of uncertainty around the final event numbers. However, that being said, I think what we're seeing right now from Cedents, what we see also from PCS, the first prints there, they look somewhat encouraging. And it appears that some of the modeling estimates that we have seen in the early days around landfall time were probably toward the higher range of things. And the final loss numbers could actually settle below that. The reaction in market pricing have also shown that. We've seen some of the bonds recovering significantly. We've seen the Swiss Re Cat Bond Index recovering. We have seen our own products recovering somewhat. I think the market is now pricing in the event, call it 50, 60 billion of industry losses. And there are more and more indications that this could actually be a rather robust estimate. So hopefully we will not see the same development we've seen in 2017 after Hurricane Irma. And of course, we've seen the big loss creep. And but again, it is still early days, and I wouldn't rule out the possibility that we would get a similar situation.
Yes, I mean, I guess the industry is really hoping that that's not going to be the case, because if you start at 50 to 70 billion and you creep upwards from there, then really you are talking about an event that could trigger additional contracts, I expect. But we're now...
Is after Hurricane Irma, the cat bond yields were in entirely different territory. But back then we had 4, maybe 5% of gross returns. You deduct 1% of fees for the fund, you had 4% returns after fees. And of course, then if you get a 2% loss creep after earning only 4%, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Now with the cat bond market having yield numbers of 12, 13, 14, sometimes even 15%, depending on strategy, even a slight loss creep from Hurricane Ian would not have that big of an impact anymore. And that's frankly why, yes, we are watching the space. It could happen. I don't think it will happen. But if it does happen, the result would be much less severe than what it was in 2017 and then going into 2018.
That's a really great point, that the compensation was already higher in the cat bond market pre-Ian. So that would absorb some of the potential creep that could occur, I guess. And now we're moving into a situation where price expectations are significantly higher. So, Florian, can you talk us through your view of perhaps some of the new cat bonds? How do you feel they are in terms of pricing? And what is the risk return investors are really going to need from cat bonds going forwards, in your view?
No. Well, that depends on the kind of investor you're asking. Mm-hmm. In the end, what we do see is that, yes, pricing definitely is better. So we have seen that the secondary market spreads after Hurricane Ian are indeed translating into higher primary market spreads. So the chain of information seems to flow well. Secondary market informs the primary market, and as such, we are now able to set a new pricing level for the entire cat bond asset class, at least for the time being. How long that will persist is a different question, but at least for now, pricing is arguably much more attractive than where it used to be in the past couple of years, potentially ever in the cat bond market. Now, when we analyze a cat bond, pricing is, of course, not the only point that we look at. We also look at terms and conditions. And interestingly enough, yes, we do see some improvements in terms and conditions of these bonds, but it's not as much as we would hope for. So you still see a lot of issuance coming into the market, which includes secondary perils with a minimal contribution to the expected loss, and such also you don't get compensated for that. And it feels that the cat bond investor market is still not able to push cedents into taking this out. I mean, we would rather buy a very clean US named storm and earthquake bond only, as opposed to one which includes one basis points of expected loss contribution from wildfire, another two from severe convective storm, which, if the models were correct, big question mark on those perils, but if they were correct, it would make a big difference to take it out. So I just wonder, why are cedents not willing to take it out? It would certainly, for us and for our client base, make it a much more suitable instrument for investing. And I do hope that this will change in the coming month.
I understand there have been some other changes on the sort of term size, which appear positive, such as retention payments or premiums that would be paid if a cat bond is held, the collateral's held. That seems a positive step as well.
It is a positive step. I would argue that's the case. Also, we see less in these more complex structures, so top and drop, that's mostly gone out of the market for good reasons. I think the biggest thing that still needs to change really is on the secondary perils and also the modeling of these perils. So if you look at some of the junior aggregate cat bonds, which have defaulted in the past 5 years, they all had expected loss number, or many of them had expected loss numbers, 1, 2, maybe 3%, but yet they defaulted. So that naturally raises to the question, is the modeling by the big modeling firms, is that adequate for these secondary aggregate bonds? And I would argue it's probably not the case for many of them. And we still see cat bonds where, when we do our in-house modeling, the official number and what our number is to price the bond is off by a factor of 3 to 5 times.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. And so we've got these higher spreads and better improvements in terms and conditions. But do you think the market is capable of setting a baseline for these? Or do you fear that perhaps capital flows in 24 or 25 and we find ourselves back into a softening cycle? It feels to me like the industry needs to step up the baseline and stick to its guns when it comes to pricing.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that is the case. It remains to be seen. But in the end, cat bonds are an interesting connection between reinsurance markets and capital markets. And as history has shown, capital markets often have a very short memory. And should we get a situation like you described, that more capital flowing into the cat bond space, I could very well imagine a situation where cat bond spreads become lower again. That is the nature of the market, there's supply and demand. But that being said, if you compare the size of the cat bond market, let's say 35, 40 billion, to the size of the overall reinsurance market, it's still a rather small market. And the ongoing capital shortage in the wider reinsurance market, it's not going to solve itself by tomorrow. So this will take some years to work through. So as such, I would hope that we have a bit of a support when it comes to pricing for the cat bond market, even if we see continued inflows into the cat bond asset class, which, by the way, we have been seeing also throughout the past year. So the cat bond market has grown. More investors came into cat bond strategies throughout 2022, and yet spreads are wider. So an inflow of capital into the cat bond market does not automatically result in a tightening of spreads, but a bit more is needed than that.
Yeah. I was going to say the other angle of that, I suppose, is the size of the market. And if there's this sort of dented global reinsurance market at this point in time with higher pricing, if the cat bond market spreads can be maintained at levels that are appealing to cedents, then surely there's a chance for greater market growth over the next 12 months or so.
Yeah, and there might be a natural limit to this. In the end, a cedent sponsors a cat bond to get regulatory capital relief. And if you ask a treasurer at any of these seeding companies, what is your internal cost of equity? Maybe you would have asked 2 years ago, would have been 15 to 18%, given the low rates environment back then. Then the cat bond market right now would slowly already be approaching that limit. And if a cat bond is suddenly more expensive than the internal cost of equity, of course, the cedent would not be sponsoring the cat bond. But now that financial markets have corrected significantly, also the cost of equity that is used for internal calculations has changed. So it might have been 15% 1 year ago. It's more likely now to be around 25% cost of equity. And that should give further room for cat bond spreads to grow in the future and for cedents to come to the market.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does seem like a positive setup for the next year. But how do you expect the cat bond pipeline is going to play out over the rest of this year and into early 2023? I mean, I know there had been some concerns about whether there was sufficient cash maturities and capacity available.
Yeah, I'm also concerned around that. So all the brokers claim that the pipeline is extremely robust and well-filled. And from what I can see, that probably is a true statement. But then the question is, how much of that can be absorbed in the cat bond market? And we've already seen the first example of a cat bond being dropped from after being announced for the fear of not being able to place it. And if that were to happen too often, it wouldn't be in the long-term interest of the cat bond market, I would argue. Because in the end, the cat bond market is still a fairly small market, 35, 40 billion. It needs to grow. And I think there is room for this to grow to 50, 60, 70, maybe even 100 billion a couple of years down the road. But that requires a certain discipline from both sides. It requires discipline from cedents to come to the cat bond market regularly, to sponsor cat bonds when the old ones expire, even if it might be a couple of basis points more expensive than to go into a traditional instrument. But also it requires a certain discipline from investors, wherever possible, to stay in the market and to give the cedents a little bit of planability when it comes to these issuances. So I would hope that in higher prices, help the market to find new equilibrium. But I guess we will know by the end of December how much of that we know.
Yeah, it seems there's a lot of new sponsors who may be pushing into next year who would have liked to have issued at the end of this year right now. I think that's one of the things I'm hearing.
And that could be a clever strategy. So if I look at our own products, there are not that many maturities compared to later years coming up in the next 3 to 4 months. So pushing it into early 2023, also giving investors time to come back into the cat bond market or maybe to top up on existing investments, that could certainly help to relieve the stress on liquidity a bit.
Yeah, and obviously that could result in at least better execution, if not slightly better pricing, I guess, for some sponsors as well next year. On the secondary market side, obviously this is a core piece of the cat bond market is the liquidity and the ability to trade notes between investors. How did it function sort of after Hurricane Ian, and was it as you would have expected?
Well, I would say it functioned better than expected. So typically after an event, you see, first of all, you see big increase in bid offer spreads and you see a drop in liquidity. And of course, we have seen the increase in bid offer spreads. As it should be, it's a reflection of uncertainty around certain names. But we've seen quite a bit of trading in many of these names in both directions, which is yet another indicator, one of many which we've seen after 2017, that the cat bond market is becoming more liquid as it grows in size. So if people had a certain opinion, for example, on the flood smart, they were able to sell it and to buy it. And that is typically a sign that the market is maturing that the market is becoming a more mature market, which then again opens the door for more sophisticated investors, which have certain liquidity requirements. And I feel that this is becoming more and more the case in the cat bond market. So a positive surprise after Hurricane Ian.
Yeah, I know that's the impression I've got from other people in the industry as well, is that it functioned well and it served its purpose as you would hope it would as well at this sort of time when things can be a little distressed and dislocated. So thank you, Florence. So perhaps we could wrap up and you could give us the 12 capital view for 2023, where you as an asset manager are seeing opportunities for your clients.
Well, unsurprisingly, we are very excited about the cat bond market. Our compliance team always tells me I'm not allowed to use any words like stellar or exciting or attractive returns, so I won't. But I think I cannot hide the fact that given where we are spread-wise, given where we are liquidity-wise in the market, given where we are also historically from historic performance perspective, the cat bond market is in interesting shape right now. Yes, 2022 might become the first year of many to end with a negative year. For us, it will be slightly negative, like it is the case for many cat bond investors, but we haven't seen huge losses despite having another huge event. Hurricane Ian was big. It might be one of the most expensive events for the reinsurance industry. Yet cat bonds are only slightly negative. And that in a year where even, my investment grade corporate bond ETF is down 15%, I would argue that the asset class has shown again that it has a value as a high yielding diversifier. It has proven itself over and over again. 2022 is another year where it has proven itself despite significant net cat activity. And now going forward with the spreads that we are seeing, also with the risk-free component increasing, it's possible to achieve double-digit returns in that asset class. And I would argue that for investors who either haven't looked into the space thus far or who argue that it's not enough return, well, that has certainly changed. And that should hopefully help us into delivering an excellent 2023 and beyond.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's been invested through the last 5 to 7 years, then surely looking forward is really the big opportunity people have been hoping for too.
I would say that is the case, yes. Of course, none of us have a crystal ball. But then again, all the topics which worried us in 3-4 years down the road, well, it's a different story when you have 4% of top line return as opposed to when you have 13% of top line return. You think of Hurricane Ian, maybe that's a 3% loss, maybe that's a 5% loss. 5 years down the road, that would have been the difference between a negative year and a positive year. Now, if your baseline yield is already at 12-13%, you can have two Hurricane Ians in 1 year and still deliver a positive result. So the robustness of the asset class itself is much better than it used to be. And that alone should be a factor of excitement for all the people who have been skeptical on this asset class in recent years.
Absolutely. That's a really great point to finish up on. So thank you very much, Florian. I really appreciate you sharing your insights and views on the market with me today. And it's been great to speak with you. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. Take care.